Dr. Angel, who is it's just a good, great show about life coaching and dealing with various real life issues, and it's very, very good. It's up on their website, which is goyard2014.org. You can also find all of our shows for Living the Good Life on our website, which is bohmglobal.com. Just click on the radio section. It will lead you to, I don't know, we've got four. I mean, this is our 463rd show, so I imagine about 400 shows are up on our website. So the other ministries that we have at Beacon are Nursing Home Ministry on the first Sunday of every month. We were there at Palm Garden earlier today. What a blessing, Nan, that was.
It was fantastic. Did you see the lady that was in the stretch-out kind of chair that was in the doorway? Did you see her towards the end? She was raising both her hands, praising the Lord.
Oh, yeah. She was praising. We got a couple of those in there.
There was one of the nurses or assistants sitting at the, I showed you,
yes.
Sitting at the counter, I mean, where they work.
Nurse's station, yeah.
There you go. And I was sitting there, I mean, standing there, and I could see her, and she was really getting into it. And other ones are getting into it.
Well, and it's not just the residents, although, of course, they're our obvious primary focus. I love working with the residents there, and, you know, I think I've mentioned it before, and I still kind of get choked up. We were there one day, and there's one part where we do something kind of frivolous. Somebody dances. Usually it's me. Today it was Nan. Because we sing a song, The Joy. If you want joy, you must dance for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord gave me, I don't want to call it a vision. It's kind of a mind sight sort of thing where I saw myself dancing in heaven with all my old ladies.
Aww.
I mean, you know, and that just touches my heart. Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
You know what was cool was when the daughter of one of the residents there started bringing people in wheelchairs.
Praise God
for
her.
She just went out and was bringing them in.
I know, because they wouldn't come in for me. So, I mean, praise God. The other ministry that we have, which I'd kind of like Betty to talk about, is our prayer ministry.
Oh, what a blessing it is to be able to pray for people. One of the great things about it is that you can send in a prayer request. We don't really have to know exactly what's going on if you just say unspoken request. Pastor Jim, Shell, or myself will type a prayer request and send it out to the 38 to 46 members of a prayer warrior team that will take your request. To the Lord, you do not have to be a member of Beacon mm-hmm. of Hope to send us a request. In fact, if you would like to be a member of the prayer team, all you have to do is say, please add me to your prayer warrior list, and I will be happy to pray with you and agreeing on all the requests that comes in by sending it to bohmglobal.com, or you can send it to pastor@bohmglobal.com. And Pastor Jim, help me. Is yours Pastor Jim?
Pastor Jim at BOHM.
.com. And we would love to have as many people praying together in one accord, because there is power in numbers and there is power in prayer.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. And that's so true. And we're going to get into those absolute incredible concepts in a second, but one thing you had said before the break, Betty, was about going to a Bible-believing church, and a doctrinally sound church, I guess, would be one way to put it. And which brings us actually to a great song by the Newsboys, We Believe.
In this time of desperation, doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe. Father, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming.
Praise God. I love that song. Nan, you have a poem.
I do. I like this one.
Hey, guys. I'm on the line.
Hey, Pastor.
Hey, Pastor.
Hi, Nan. Hi, Betty. Hi, Pastor Jim. You all okay?
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I am great. I am great. I'm sitting in a beautiful restaurant in Puebla with my good friend Enrique, and we just had a wonderful dinner. And we just went to a wonderful ballet, a Mexican ballet. It was amazing. It was amazing. So, and we've got church tonight, and we've got a whole lot going. It's every minute. I've already been to the market this morning. We are busy around here, I'm telling you.
Well, it is,
but it's all good.
It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, it's just wonderful what God is doing. And just wonderful, wonderful talks with all these wonderful people. And my Spanish is improving already. In just a short time. So. No, it's all very good. So we're having church tonight at 6, which we're an hour behind you.
Right, so it'd be 7 our time.
Yeah. So, and just got a lot on the plans this week. David and I are going clear up to Tampico, which is a 10-hour bus ride. Tuesday night during the night, we'll sleep in the bus. It's a very nice bus. And then we're doing a radio show on Tuesday afternoon here, one on Wednesday at night, and then another service up there in Tampico Wednesday at 6, and then get on a bus and drive back all night again. Ooh. On Wednesday night. So there's a lot going on, but everything is great. I appreciate all the prayer support. We got through customs perfectly.
Yay.
God answered prayer. And what we figured out would be about 5,000 pesos. We found favor. I found favor with the lady and that did all the checking of my bags, and she just barely looked at stuff. And she said, I believe you. And I showed her the receipt, and she said, that's okay. She valued it at half of what we had spent.
Wow. So, praise God.
We spent 2,028 pesos instead of 5,000.
Wow.
So there's just been miracles all along already. God is moving. So are you all okay? Is Betty on the line?
Betty's here, right?
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing fine.
You guys
we're
have a great show, and I won't keep you. I'm in a restaurant. We got a band that's just cranked up here.
Oh, great.
So anyway, it's wonderful. Everything is great, and I will write you all more, maybe tomorrow or tonight later. So
okay.
Fill you in, but thanks for prayers, and radio listeners, thanks to all of you for praying and supporting what God is doing. So it's all good.
Amen. Well, God...
You guys have any questions or anything, or are we good?
I think we're good. You got the radio working?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so good.
We don't have the antenna up and all that, but we've got everything unpacked. We've got the right people that are going to put it together.
Okay, so wonderful.
Yeah, we're in a good place. So it's all going to be fine. It's not working yet, but it will be.
Okay, so, great.
Yeah. Amen. All right, guys. We'll talk soon. I love you all.
Praise God. Thanks, Pastor.
Bye, Pastor.
All right. Okay, bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, how wonderful to hear from Pastor.
Oh, it's so wonderful to hear her voice.
And
what an opportunity.
Amen. And imagine she's in Mexico, you know, and she can call in on the radio. I just, mm-hmm. that's still, mm-hmm. you know, you'd think I'd be up with all the technology. Nothing would surprise me. But, you know, sounded pretty good for being in a restaurant, a crowded restaurant in Mexico, you know?
With a band starting up.
With a band. Yeah, it sounded pretty good. So, okay, well, praise God. Nan, you've got a poem?
Got a poem. You can be faithed up to overflowing is the title. Do you believe that you can be faithed up to overflowing, little one? Do you believe that you can have it? You can simply believe upon my precious son. I'm your father, and I'm here for you. I will fill you up with faith to overflowing. Look to me, praise me, believe in such. For you, it will feel so wonderful and freeing. So what is your answer to my question? Will you praise me to help your faith grow? I'm here. I will work all things together for you. And of my faith, you will learn, and it will flow.
Praise God. You got such great... Oh, praise God for God, using you.
God just does marvelous things. You know, what I thought of when he was sharing that last paragraph, and I don't know the location, you would know the location, where in the New Testament, the writer said, to increase, help my unbelief.
Yeah, it would be in Matthew, Mark, or Luke.
There you go. But, I mean, it's okay. It's okay to say that, right. You know. They did it.
it was the man with the demon-possessed son. Okay. And, you know, Jesus said, do you believe? And he said, I do believe. Help my unbelief.
Yes.
You know, and again, we can be honest with God.
He knows what we think anyway. Right. We might as well just be upfront and honest.
We might as well just tell him because he already knows. And it's more for us. You know, in fact, I remember saying that the last time I was on the radio mm-hmm. show. It's more about us doing, you know, it's not, when we do something like that, you know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It helps us to realize something about ourselves that maybe we hadn't seen before. And I think that's important. So, Peter and John, they went back to church. And in verse 24 of Acts chapter 4, let me see. Well, we'll start with verse 23. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this would be the 120, or actually now the 7,000. They lifted up their voices to God with one accord. And I want to stop right there. With one accord. And Betty, you had mentioned something like that before the break. It's so important that we join with each other in fellowship and prayer. But in my Bible, I underlined those words, with one accord. They didn't have dissension. They all were in this of the same mind, kind of like in our little prayer book, Prayers That Avail Much, number 113, Prayer for Your Church, being of one mind. And that's what they were. They were of one accord. And how important is that unity, Betty?
Well, just sitting here, you know, listening to both of you talk, one accord is vitally important because I can't think of another vocabulary word that would even come close to that unless one of you, either one of you could come up with something, is that the Lord wants, especially in me, I want less of me and more of Him. So if you have another person who says, Lord, I want less of me and more of you, that's one or two or three are gathered in His name. If you can have just that small group, but all of us need to be in agreement. That, like when we're praying for someone, let's take Pastor Marcia for instance, is that if we're in one accord, you can already see the miracles that have transpired from the time that she left the airport to the time that she's getting ready to listen to the band, that everything fell into place because we prayed in one accord. We were in agreement that says, Lord, if we agree on any one thing and believing that it shall be done, and that's what one accord does. It's like a tight or a rope that you have, and you're holding on, you're trying to pull something together, and that rope has to be tight. And what I'm trying to get at is once you have believers that are that tight, and I believe that the prayer warriors of Beacon of Hope are tight, so to speak, because we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that, you know, we believed in this trip for Pastor Marcia. We believe in one accord that things, she was going to get the green light when it came to customs and having the pesos having to be paid, the taxes. And that's what happens, people, when you agree on any one thing. Like all of us have done for Pastor Marcia, is that it goes up to the throne of glory, and God says, wow, they're really believing for this. And again, I say one accord is vitally important in a lot of things, and especially when you pray.
Absolutely. And well, you've been quoting it, Matthew 18:19-20. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I'm there in their midst. And that's true. We did that. We prayed, more than two of us. We agreed, and it came to pass, which is a great lead-in for the next song. More Than Conquerors by an Irish group, Rend Collective.
When my hope and strength is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You are the life, you are the fight that's in my soul. Conqueror.
Praise God. I love that song. I really like that group. And I really, really like that song. And I believe Nan was inspired.
Yes, he inspired. It's entitled, You Can Be Mighty Conquerors. You can be made more than conquerors. Lean upon me for strength to go on. I will undergird you with my power, and you will become oh so strong. Look to me, trust me, listen to me. I will see you through what you face. Things will work out okay for you. You'll make it by my mighty grace. Look to me, I will give you such strength. You will make it. Then you need to tell others. Share your story with those that you meet. Plus, it will encourage your sisters and brothers.
Oh, praise God. Well, that's so true. And I think Peter and John understood that here in Acts chapter 4. They went back, and I love that line in the song, we are defiant. You know, we're not going to give in to sin and shame. We are defiant in your name. It's a wonderful thing that, you know, defiance is not always a bad thing, okay? If you're defying authority, that's a bad thing. but defying sin and shame, a good thing. And I like that in the song so much. That really just always speaks to me so much. And, of course, Peter and John were actually doing what God told them to do. And they go back, we've mentioned before the song, they lifted up their voices in one accord and, you know, and started praying. And what a wonderful thing. You know, instead of running away and hiding, they prayed. And it's what they prayed for. What a... This prayer at the end of, at the end here of Acts chapter 4 is such an amazing, bold prayer. So I want to spend some time going through that because it is just so great. Okay, so they quote some scripture, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, this is verse 25, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and all the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. Okay, so that's out of Psalm 2. And then in verse 27, for truly in this city were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. And I want to stop right here for a quick side comment. Don't ever let anyone tell you it was just the Jews that killed Jesus. Because right here, Peter says it was Herod, it was Pilate, it was the Gentiles, it was the Jews, and guess what? That's every last one of us. Every last one of us has sinned, so every last one of us sent Jesus to the cross. And, you know, it was God's plan. You can't blame anybody. It was God's plan. So enough for my side comment. But he said, well, here, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. So God, you know, I've said this many times, Jesus going to the cross did not surprise God in the least. I mean, that was the plan all along. Even before Adam sinned, God knew what he was going to have to do. But this is where I wanted to focus in verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may never speak your word ever again at all. Is that right, Betty?
No. Sorry, I muted my phone because I've got some noise in the background.
Oh, so. That's no problem.
No,
he said,
no.
And grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while, and this goes back to the main theme, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Okay, that goes back to the original point. You preach, it's confirmed with signs following. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. That is just so important because they prayed for boldness. They prayed to be able to speak the word. They asked God to confirm it. And that's why, you know, when we pray prayer 113 out of prayers that avail much, we believe that the word is going to go forth with signs following because we're praying just like they did in Acts chapter 4. And they prayed so hard the whole place was shaken. Now, okay, I'm waiting. I'm expecting. I'm not waiting. I'm expecting that to happen someday at Beacon. We're going to get in one of those just anointed prayer times, and that Ramada is going to shake. And who knows?
Amen.
Maybe they're going to hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind and come rushing to our door. You know, we have to be ready for that.
I know. And, you know, that's, I think, Pastor and Nan and listening audience, I believe that people fear that, that they're afraid of what's coming. And so they're going to hide in their huts and they're going to hide in their houses because when they hear someone praying in the spirit, is what is that? What is that? You know, have you ever experienced that? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And if we ever all got together in one accord, in one mind, in one spirit, and prayed, I mean, we'd pray the house down. I mean, the people of God would pray the house down.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to talk about the Ramada shaking, I think the whole city of Tampa and every city around it would feel it.
Oh, that would be...
If we would just overcome our fear.
Right. And, you know, there were stories... And I don't mean stories like made-up stories, but during the revival that happened in Indonesia years and years ago, they had people would come and like the firemen would come because they thought the place was on fire. You know, that's how anointed it was. The glory just lived there. And yeah, I think that's, we've got to have that today. But again, it took them praying for it and believing for that. And I think you're right. I think it scares people. I remember, well, you and Nan both may remember the one, there was an album of hymns that Pat Boone put out after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he, you know, he'd be singing the hymns, and all of a sudden he'd go off singing in the Spirit, and they left it on the record. Mind you, that's how old it was. It was a record. And I was playing it for one of my friends, and he remember his reaction, "Don't ever play that for me again." You know, and came funny thing is later on he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, so you know that was kind of cool. But yeah, you know, people are afraid because I think sometimes people are afraid because I believe deep down inside they know it's from God and they don't want to face Him or they don't feel they can face Him, and that's the good news. That's why we're out evangelizing. You can do this. Jesus went to the cross and died for your sins. He rose from the dead for you. And it doesn't matter how black you think your heart is, Jesus washes it clean in His blood. I don't care how black you think, how dark you are, how black you think your heart is, how irredeemable you think you are. Jesus' blood covered every single sin of every single human being that has ever and will ever be born. All you have to do is accept that. There's nothing more, you know? But I think, Betty, you're right. People are afraid. They it's like in the book of Revelation, the sixth seal, the darkness of the sun, the moon turning blood red, the meteors falling, all that, earthquakes. People run and hide themselves in caves. Okay, first of all, that's kind of futile. But they say, hide us from the wrath. You know, and all it's so silly. Because all you have to do is accept Jesus. And Paul says in Thessalonians that, you know, we're not destined for wrath because of what Jesus did. We don't have to fear what happens tomorrow. Okay, I mean... You know, I watch the stock market out of curiosity to see where it's going to go. I don't get fretful, partially because I pulled most of my stuff out of the stock market. But I wouldn't even be fretful anyway. I'd be praying for guidance. But I'm not worried because I know ultimately God's still in control. So I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry. I can pray for boldness to preach the gospel because that's that light in a dark place. You know, Isaiah prophesied that the, you know, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The whole earth will be covered in darkness, but people will be drawn to your light. I believe that's Isaiah chapter 60. And that's so true. As we see the darkness getting darker around us, we don't have to be afraid. We do not have to give in to the dark. We need to be the lights shining in this world. Pastor preached on that or taught on that a few weeks back. We are the light of the world because we have the light of Jesus in our hearts. We don't have to be afraid. You, listening audience, do not have to be afraid when you see so many horrible things happening because Jesus knows it's going to happen. He's already been there, and he'll protect you through it. He'll get you safely through. And it's just so, I just want to reach out to each one of you and say, God's not mad at you. He's already reconciled you to himself. All you have to do is accept that fact. All you have to do is believe that Jesus came for you. And you don't have to fear what's going on. We mentioned it earlier today at the nursing home, because we always sing I'll Fly Away and, you know, some other kind of good songs about being with Jesus in heaven. And we talked about how, you know, we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. We just have to trust him and believe that he's already been there. He's already been to the future. And it's so wonderful to know that. And I would just remind everybody, as dark as it gets, remember John chapter 1, verse 4. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overpower it. That light lives in us, and the darkness cannot overpower what's inside of us. Amen?
Amen. I was thinking about the song that we sang, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. And it was, you know, hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. And the women or men around there was putting their hand up, hiding it under a bushel, no, won't let Satan blow it out. You know, and you know, that's a simple song, yet this whole thing is kind of, it's simple, but we are the ones who make it complicated. But God can't this because of me. I've done this, he can't that. We make it complicated. He doesn't make it complicated.
Right, right. The gospel is the simplest thing in the world. One of the things I know in liturgical churches, Catholic, Episcopal, one of the things they often say at communion each week is, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Well, you don't get much more simpler than that, and that's pretty much the gospel in a nutshell. So, praise God for that. So I preached for a while, Betty. I'm sorry. Any comments to all of that?
Well, I believe that your preaching is spot on. It has such a simplistic message that we make it so hard. But the one thing that the Lord is telling us through this message today is don't give up. Have faith. Be faced up enough to be able to stand and to be able to stand firm, because he is in control of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he does is for your good. Now, whether you want to realize that or not, that's up to you. But I know that God is directing my path in a path that I'm not so sure I want to go down. But I'm going to go down that path because he's leading me down that. And I think that's what Peter and John did, is that may be not what they wanted, but it's what the Lord wanted.
Right. Well,
and so by being filled with the Holy Spirit gives you that hotline that most people don't have yet, but is available to them, of having the Lord speak to your heart and having you become more of an evangelist in this world, like John and Peter were doing. And I'm sure that there were times that they had faced, when they faced the Sanhedrin, that they were could have been pathetically fearful, full of anxiety and worry. But what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke their mind with holy boldness. And I think they got their point across. And so that's I praise God for that boldness that the Holy Spirit gives us through Christ the Son. And it's just amazing to me, is what Nan and you were talking about, was the simplistic way that you can give your life to the Lord. We make it so hard, but it's so simplistic.
Right. It's so easy. And I just want to finish up in Acts chapter 4. In verse 32, it says, the congregation of those who believe were of one heart and soul. Okay, there's that unity again. They were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed anything as belonging to him that was his own, but all things were common property to them. Okay, that's pretty scary. I mean, they were all kind of staying in one big place, so that made it easier. But at least the concept is there. Again, being faithed up means I'm not going to allow myself to be attached to things. Okay? I love all my Bibles. Okay? But I've got most of it hidden in my heart. So, I can give those things away. And I cannot be attached to those. I can't be attached to my car, my clothing, my job, things like that. Because the principle is, I didn't do anything to earn them. Basically, God gave me all those things. And if you get too attached to something like that, that hinders your faith. Because, well, as Jesus said, you can't love God and money. You can't love God and material things. Mm-hmm. It's where are you planting your feet? You can't, if you plant them over a chasm, you're likely to fall. So, it's that principle. But then in verse 33, and with great power, the apostles were testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. Oh, I love that verse. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony of the resurrection. So, and remember, that includes not just the words, but also the miracles, the signs, and great grace was upon them all. That's so wonderful that they were living in grace. And that's, being faithed up to overflowing for evangelism. You have to understand that we live in grace. We don't, and by that, I mean, we don't live in guilt. We don't live in shame. We live in grace. And that, that's so wonderful because guilt, shame, excuse me, all that old stuff will hinder your faith. It'll keep your faith from rising up. It'll keep you from ministering the way that God wants you to. And, we've talked all throughout the show about the importance of how simple it is to know Jesus, how easy it is to come to know God. Sometimes we just make it way too complicated. We put too many roadblocks in place. But knowing Jesus is so, so very simple. So I want to end the show with one of my actually favorite songs. It's another really old one. It's by Keith Green. And this is actually done first in the late 70s. It's called Altar Call.
But he proved himself to me in such a holy way, such a complete way, that I die for that faith and I die for that belief, because it's more than a belief. He lives in my heart, and that's the only proof. It's the only proof that I can give you, because he lives in my heart. Those people that knew me before didn't know that I could believe something so strong. The gospel is simply this: Jesus will forgive all your sins if you'll come to him humbly, lay down at his feet and say, "You're the Lord, and I'll follow you the rest of my life on earth so that I can have the rest of eternity with you and the glory of your Father." It's too late that someone has to pay the price. You can pay it yourself. or let someone else. But who would be that nice to pay a debt that isn't his? Well, I know someone like that, and he's your best friend. He really is. He really loves you that's ever been said about the way, the truth, the life. You say you've heard lots of preaching all before, so many times. But did you ever open up your door, give him a chance to prove himself? But he's real, I know. The longer you wait, 'cause you've only been lying to yourself. 'Cause no one believes a thing you say, not even you. You know you're gonna find out that he's the way, no matter which way you choose. But I pray if I y'all bow your heads with me, please.
Oh, I can't sit through that song without remembering the day that I asked Jesus into my life. And Nan, you have a poem for us.
I do. It's entitled, "What Will Your Decision Be?" I live in the hearts of those who accept me. Will you make the decision on this day? Look to me asking for my forgiveness. You surrender to me while you pray. I love you with an everlasting love. I'm here. I really do exist. I really do. Pray to me with childlike faith. My cleansing power will engulf you. So, what will be your decision today? Look to me. I will help you in all that you face. With me living within you, precious one, you will make it by my sustaining grace.
Amen. Amen. So, I want to take this opportunity to pray with our listeners and, well, pray for our listeners. I just really feel impressed that there are so many needs out there that the Lord God can meet. So I just want to pray for you, and then I'd like to lead you in a prayer asking Jesus to come into your heart. And Betty, if you'll, when I get to that part, if you'll echo what I say, that would be wonderful. So, Father, I just want to lift up all of our listeners today. Those who know you and those who don't. Father, I pray that for those of us who know you, you would give us a boldness. You would keep us faithed up in whatever way, you know, it takes for us to be that. Remind us, Lord, to live in your presence, to be steadfast in prayer, to meditate upon your word, to be ever filled with your Holy Spirit, and to be in fellowship. Father, strengthen us, empower us, anoint us to be evangelists, to do, as Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And Father, we do believe that you will do this with signs following. And Lord, for those who've listened this day who may not know you, I pray, Lord, that something that's been said by Nan or myself or Betty, you would just use that to reach into their hearts, Confront them with your love, Lord. Confront them with your sacrifice. Confront them with your life, Jesus. Draw them in to your kingdom. Bring them home, Lord. And if there are any of you who've not asked Jesus into your heart, please pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I come before you now.
I come before you now.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead.
That you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that Jesus died for all my sins.
I believe that Jesus died for all my sins.
And I accept his sacrifice now.
And I accept his sacrifice now.
Jesus, I call you my Lord and Savior.
Jesus, I call you my Lord and Savior.
And I submit my life to you.
And I submit my life to you.
Lord, from this day forward.
Lord, from this day forward.
I will live my life for your glory.
I will live my life for your glory.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, any final thoughts? No, I just want to think, quick thing. If you prayed that prayer, or if you have any questions about anything you've heard today, please, you can email me. Especially since Pastor's out of town. But I love getting emails. You can email me at PastorJim@BOHMGlobal.com. If you have any questions, if you got saved, you want to know what to do next, email me. Let me know. Let's start a discussion. Amen. Any last thoughts, Betty?
Yeah, I've been looking at my Jesus Calling book, and just the first paragraph really ministered to me right before you said that prayer. It says, come to me for rest and refreshment. The journey has been too much for you, and you are bone weary. Do not be ashamed of your exhaustion. Instead, see it as an opportunity for me to take charge of your life. And that's just the first paragraph. And I think that as time goes on, as you draw closer to the Lord, he will draw closer to you.
Amen. You know, and I read that very same thing this morning, and I was so blessed. You know, it's just, that was such a blessing. It's like, I can, you know, God, you're there. You know what, you know, like, you know, doing nursing home and radio. I don't see how Pastor does it personally, but you know, it's like that was meant for me to do. That was so perfect. So thank you. Thank you. Nan, any last thoughts from you?
Just an encouragement that they can be faithed up to overflowing for evangelism. He can use any of us at all.
And he will.
And he will. It's our own choice if we want to be used. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing to be fearful. He'll give you the words to say. I mean, how many times have we, you know, got in discussion, just the words flow, and then later you go, wow, where did that come from? You know, and it's like, that came from God, you know? Mm-hmm. And he will give you the words you need at the time of ministering to people. So reach out with your faith and share that with people, because they need to hear it.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. And I just want to kind of give a quick recap of what we've talked about today. We've talked about being faithed up to overflowing for evangelism. And that is so, so very important. And we talked about how Jesus evangelized. We talked about Peter and John. And in a world that's so far away from God, we just need to remember that he loves us and he's there for us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And that's such a wonderful thing. So it has been such a blessing. I just want to remind people of a few things. Living the Good Life is a ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are located in Clearwater, Florida. Great church. We are kind of loosely, you know, we're just kind of loose. But we do meet every Wednesday night at the Ramada Inn on Olmerton. And we meet about 6 o'clock. Some of us will get there for setup. But we also have a time of prayer. We take prayer requests. And again, Betty had mentioned before, we do believe in the power of prayer. I keep track of praise reports that come in because I believe that's very important. In fact, you know, pastor's praise report is going in my little list. But it's so very important. We spend that time in prayer. We pray out of the Prayers That Avail Much book by Jermaine Copeland, which are scripture prayers. It's a great book to have because, you know, it's kind of prayers for individual needs, prayer for, like, corporate needs, prayer group needs. Really good, and it's all scripture-based. It's all just scripture-based prayers. So I would encourage everybody to pick up a copy of that. But also, we have, like I mentioned before, a ministry to the nursing home, which is a wonderful thing. We have the other radio show besides this one, Go Yard. And it's just so encouraging. You know, we have all these ministries going on, and now we've actually sent our pastor to Mexico, which is an incredible thing that, you know, this all came about since when? The end, September 29th, I believe, was when she and David, who's the missionary down in Mexico, talked. I think it was the end of September. So in a span of a few short months, this all came together. Those of you who were listening before heard how God blessed her, mm-hmm. getting through customs. And we, you know, we use that as an example of praying in unity and what can happen. So wonderful, wonderful thing. So I just want to encourage everybody, if you have any questions, email me. Otherwise, I'll be back next week. And I believe Nan will be here too, and Nathan will be joining us for Living the Good Life, a ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. We'll see you next week. And remember, it's not far to Jesus.
I was kneeling down that day and teaching me to pray. He said, it's not far from me.